Hello, Chatterbox friends. It's Anna from Soundyard here. Well, the weather has been kind to Chris Skinner, our favourite farmer and podcaster, as he's been making hay while the sun shines. Some of the highlights from the Countryside podcast for the month include the riverbank bird at a nearby quarry, and Chris has managed to capture his early morning wake-up call. Matthew Gudgeon's also along with tape measure in hand to record the largest tree on High Ash Farm. Let's make our way down to the farmyard first, though, where Chris and Matthew have been admiring the marvellous parenting skills of Mama Duck.
What a way to start the Countryside podcast this week. We're in Chris Skinner's farm van here and looking through an open window. What a lovely sight there.
Matthew, this young lady hatched 10 young ducklings off Saturday evening, so they're about 4 or 5 days old. She's still got 10, which is quite amazing. And this year, many of our ground nesting birds have done a second brood just because of the appalling weather in March and April and in the beginning of May. And most of them lost their broods. They either got waterlogged out or they just had to give up. It was continuous rain. And this mum, the mallard, she's a female mallard, so she's a wild duck. And she's just brought the chicks, the ducklings, up onto my lawn, 10 of them.
They're very small, aren't they? Not much bigger than a tennis ball.
Well, the eggs are half the size of a tennis. They're not much bigger than a large ping pong ball. So the little ducklings are very vulnerable. They are spending a lot of time on the duck pond, feasting on any flying insects about, and they dart across the water. They're very vulnerable to predation, though. Magpies will have them. Lesser blackback gulls and herring gulls will also have a go at them. And she's a ferocious mum. And you can see she's just keeping them completely close to her body.
She's standing guard there, isn't she? But they are terrific, really lovely little birds, aren't they? And I wonder how many of them will grow up. I mean, I hate to be morbid about these things, but she has 10 for a reason.
Yes, she does. And you can see the colour on her plumage. It's not like the male, the drake mallard, with the gaudy green head and the sort of wing coverts as well. She's very demure because she has to incubate the eggs on the ground. She can't be seen, so she'll use a tussock of grass, perhaps 14, 15 eggs, and she'll stay on the eggs after they've hatched, or when they hatch, I should say, for about an extra 24 hours to give any late arrivals a chance to come out of the eggs. Because remember, she doesn't lay 10 or 14 eggs in one batch. It's over a two-week period. So she doesn't start incubating them until she's finished laying, and then hopefully they all hatch simultaneously. But very vulnerable, because this time of the year, they've only got this down on them. They haven't got any proper feathers, so they have to be feathered up before we get into the cold weather in November. So that's why they're eating greedily on my grass. There's some special chick crumb food out there for them. I feel very honoured, actually, that she trusts me and brings them up here 3 or 4 times a day. And it's just wonderful to see the parental care. We often don't see these things because many people today are detached from actually watching wildlife. And when you have the opportunity to do what I do, I'm just in awe of the parental responsibility and care that they take.
Here they are. Here they are, look.
Just feet from the car now. You're so spoilt, and she's so trusting as well. There we are. A lovely way to start the podcast. She's a quarry species, and we're now off on a short drive just off the edge of High Ash Farm for another quarry species. So, I see I've already given you a high-vis jacket. I've got one on the front of the truck as well, ready to put on. So, without further ado, I'm going to start the truck. We've got a short journey, and then I hope we'll have a sight to remember.
Chris
Chris Skinner's Countryside Podcast with Matthew Gudgeon.
Well, we've driven not much more than a mile on from Chris's farm, just south of Norwich, to another location very nearby. And Chris, we're down in a quarry.
Yes, I said we were going to be looking at a quarry species, and it's a bit of a pun. It's a Norfolk joke, I suppose.
It's very good. I didn't believe we were actually going to visit a quarry. This looks like a sand quarry here.
It is a quarry. It's now finished. It's deceased. It's right by the A140, and I've been coming here for the best part of 10 years, watching one of my favourite birds of all. It's called Riparia riparia. And if you look riparian up in the dictionary, it just means riverbank. And this bird is the riverbank bird. It's the sand martin. And it loves sandy cliffs. And because of all the excavation that happened around the edge of this quarry, we're sort of 20 feet or more beneath ground level where we're sitting. There's best part of, 50 holes there. Give you an idea of the size of them, about 2-inch diameter. I don't think you could quite fit a cricket ball in each hole. And the holes go into the sand about 2 feet, and they slightly slope upwards for drainage.
And they look like an oval shape, really, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But we're sitting there waiting for some birds to arrive. And normally, sand martin nest sites, which is what this is a hive of activity, is the best way to describe it. And there's none there. But there's a clue. And just beneath that little long row of nest holes in the sand, no, that's over there, you can see a squiggle. Can you? It looks like a little dark line. And what's happened... Every nest has been predated by a grass snake. And grass snakes have watched it time and time again, trying to come down from above to get into the holes, and it falls every time. And it's learnt to curl its body up in an S shape and crawl upwards, put its head near the entrance of a hole, sniffs. If there's anything in there, it will go in. And then it comes out of one hole, still with its tail in the hole, and goes down the next one and gorges on the young sand martins. And, of course, it's petrified the parents. And basically, they attempted this year's first brood. They've given it all up, not through all the heavy rain that we've had, just through the attentions of this single grass snake. Now, grass snakes are protected. The sand martins are protected as well. You mustn't interfere with nesting birds. So I've had to leave it alone, and all the quarry workers have been questioning me why there's no sand martins there this year. But I've got two strings to my bow, Gudgeon. Oh, and
at least
right in the middle the two quarries here at Case to St Edmund. It's the river valley that the sand martins love. And on the other side of the river valley, right on the northern boundary of a Hirsch farm, is another quarry. And that's where we're going to go, because the sand martins have deserted this. Birds, of course, are very mobile, and they've got the choice of doing this. And they're set up in the adjacent quarry. But you can see there's not a single bird here. And this is peak nesting time for them, coming up for the middle of July. Nothing.
It's incredible the snake has managed to get up that sheer
face. Yes, it curls itself up into an S shape. So it's kind of the little grains of sand fall away, and it manages to get to the first nest hole. Once it does that, it uses its little tongue that comes out, and I've watched it carefully where we're sitting with a high-powered pair of binoculars, which we'll use in a minute at the other quarry. They're on the front of the truck here, and you can actually see it sniffing the air to see if each hole is occupied, and it's eliminated the whole lot. Just one snake has done, what can you count? You can count at least 50 sand burrows there. There's two little separate sites that we're facing. So, fascinating story, but come on, let's start the truck up.
I want to see a sand martin now.
Exactly. And I'll explain what we're seeing when we get there. Right, off we go. It's only a short distance, about a mile, and we should, fingers crossed, it's always a dangerous thing to promise something when you're looking at nature, but fingers crossed we'll come across some. Here we go.
Well, this is a working quarry and we haven't come very far, and we're in a huge great depression in the ground, man-made, with lots of yellow sand all around us.
Yes, tens of thousands of tons of sand, Matthew.
How deep down are we here?
We are about 100 feet, 30 metres beneath ground level, and we're looking at an enormous cliff face here, and you can see there's been some landslips because of all the recent rain that we've had. The sand has become saturated, and that's all right, we're sitting parked in the car in a safe area. Oh, there you are. Look, a sand martin just flew out in front of us.
Oh, there we are, yes.
In front of us are around 50 to 60 nest holes near the summit of this sand cliff. It's quite stable sand just there. It's not fallen down. And we've got sand martins flying around us now. And what they do is they'll go off. There's young in the nest holes at the moment. 2, 3, and 4 in each nest hole. And the parents go off en masse. They're gregarious birds. They love feeding together. Obviously, in front of us, they love nesting together as well. And they're, I suppose, the odd ones out of the three hirundine birds which you'll see, which are swallows, house martins, and sand martins. Swifts should be really included. They're not related to those other three species. Now, we all see lots of house martins if you're lucky, and lots of swallows. They tend to nest in and amongst human habitation. But the third one of that trio, the sand martin, Riparia riparia, I love the Latin name, the river bird, is very different in its habits and where it nests. It nests generally away from people. It will use cliffs, it will use old quarries, and sometimes in strange places as well where soil's been dumped in the past and you have a vertical surface. And other birds will try and predate them as well. We mentioned the grass snake earlier at the other quarry, and so they've forsaken that site and started a brand new nest colony right in front of us at the top of this cliff. We couldn't climb up there, it's just too steep and too slippery, so they're safe from human interference.
And then they're about 6 feet, a little bit more than that maybe, from the rim of the quarry here, and it's perforated side of the hillside. And it looks a little different from the last place. I think that you said it's a little bit more stable, that soil, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's quite hard. It's compacted over the years, and the sides of the quarry have been dug away for gravel extraction. And then underneath us, the next layer down, is a chalk layer, and that's over 100 feet deep. So, you know, the quarry goes down in two stages. The first one's for what they call the overburden, which contains all the minerals, things like the flints and the sand of different grades, and that's used for house building and road building. And then later on, the chalk's excavated for neutralizing acidic conditions in agricultural soil. And it's a bit quiet at the moment at the nest colony because they're all off feeding, and they feed over the fields immediately behind us, which are the northern fields at Hayasham, looking for insects. They spend a lot of time flying up and down the River Tass, hence the riparian part of their name, the river bird, and that's where you get lots of insects in the cool weather, which we've been having this summer. So it's a bit of a torrid summer for them, and this will be their first brood if they bring them off. And it's very late now because they about the first birds to arrive of that trio, swallows, house martins, and the sand martins. They're the first to arrive, sometimes late February, and I'll see little flocks of them darting round on the farm. Now, they're small birds, Matthew, and I mean small. We can all visualise a swallow with the long tail streamers. You have two sand martins equals one swallow. So a kilo of swallows is about 36 birds. A kilo of sand martins would be about 75 birds in one hand and a bag of sugar in the other, to give you an idea.
And yet in flight...
Yeah, one just went in. Out again, feeding
in
away.
In flight, they look very similar to swallows.
Yes, they do. They're creamy white underneath, but they are different, complete. The plumage is very different. No tail streamer. That's the first thing, like you would have on the swallow. And the next one is no blue on the plumage, in that iridescent blue that swallows and house martins, kind of gunmetal blue, very beautiful. They don't have that. The backs on a sand martin are brown in colour, and underneath they have a very distinctive brown chin strap going right across the chest. Now, that bird just arrived and went out of the hole and just fed the babies, which would be near the entrance of the hole, and was gone in about 3 or 4 seconds, and that's typical, gone off for another load of food. But what I'd love to do is to sit here, about every half an hour, the flock comes back, and they all feed simultaneously. They're really lovely birds to watch, and they're playful as well. They come here in the spring, first part of the year, and one will have a feather on this big sand cliff face, and it will drop the feather, and then another one will come and pick it up, and they have what we call feather games. It's just lovely to see, and that's why I've fallen in love with them, because they come all the way up from Africa. They'll leave shortly after they've brought this brood off. They're pretty quick at leaving the UK. They'll fly down over the channel, right down the western coast of France, along the Bay of Biscay, across the Mediterranean, down through Spain, Tunisia. They'd cross down the edge of the Sahara Desert usually, and then overwinter just south of the Sahara Desert, an area called the Sahel, and it is really hostile there. There's been some droughts there, and in the mid-1960s we lost over two-thirds of our house martins and white throats as well, because of the Sahara's actually spreading southwards as well as northwards. That area of desertification is becoming much larger. We don't know all the reasons that's happened. One's just come out, there it goes, flitting straight off across the top of us. But they're high up, 70-80 feet above us, and we're kind of craning our heads looking out of the windscreen of the truck so we don't disturb them.
And hopefully grass snake proof.
I hope so. There you can see this huge sort of wall of sand is crumbled away in places, but the area that they've chosen, they're clever birds. Once one starts pecking to make a hole, the whole lot start at the same time, and they kind of work as a team. I love it. And they're beautiful tiny little birds. Yeah. One's just gone in. Just count the seconds. If there's babies in there, it will feed them quickly, maybe take some poo out, and then there it goes, gone.
10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. Feed your children. That's about all I did with mine. 10 seconds. That was quite enough.
The model father. Wonderful to see these diminutive birds, and you have to look carefully. But I think you will notice in flight that they are smaller than swallows, and they're very precious. And sadly, the areas where they can nest, not just because of grass snakes, mainly because of us, are vanishingly few, aren't they?
Yes, Matthew, it's one of the delights of the nature that we share our planet with, and the more you can study them, the more you learn about them, you realise how vulnerable they are compared to how we treat the world, and that's why I respect and love them.
Well, here we are in this sand pit.
Yeah, it's a quarry. I said we were doing quarry species. Have you forgotten my best joke?
No, I never forget your jokes. But where's the bucket and spade? I was rather hoping I'd be
able
to...
Yes, you haven't got your knotted handkerchief on the top of your head yet, so... anyway, a real treat for you, and then we've got one more treat back at the farm. It's only a couple of minutes in the car, and we'll be back again. One's just gone in, and out. Oh, wonderful. You are spoilt.